Well, this being our first Sunday in the new year, we're going to participate of communion together. But before we do that, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. I'm not even going to give you a page number because this is the second to last chapter in the Bible. Just open your Bible and go as far right as you can get. Revelation chapter 21. Would love to have you read along with us. We'll be looking at the first five verses of Revelation chapter 21. Lord, it's so wonderful to know that you like new things, that you're always making things new, new beginnings. And so many new things planned. Lord, I pray that you would greatly encourage your people this morning. So we look forward to all that you have in store and to all that you want to do in our lives every day this year. Bless this time, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Revelation is a very important book in the Bible, because it gives us the ending in advance. It gives us our future. We don't have to wonder how things are going to turn out. We know. God has told us in advance. And as Christians, we have a glorious future. Look what we read in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 21. It says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" If you're a born-again Christian, that's your future. That's where you're headed. In this chapter, we're looking about as far into the future as we can possibly see from the scripture. Theologians refer to this chapter as the eternal state. We're looking into the eternal state. And there's one word that sums up the eternal state that I want you to notice here this morning and focus on. And it's the word new. In the eternal state, everything becomes new. Now, the Greek word for new here, it's very important to understand. It's the Greek word kainos. This is a word that does not mean new in time. It does not speak of the most recent. It's not from a chronological standpoint. There's another Greek word for that, and that's the word neos. This is the word kainos, which means new in form. New like never seen before. New in quality. New in character. You know, years ago, I used to listen to music on a record player. Does anybody remember record players? In case you don't know, there's these vinyl discs that you put on a turntable, you turn it on and it spins and you put a needle on it. And that's how we would listen to music. And we would get new records. I was always so excited to get the newest record. That's the Greek word neos, new in time. Today, we listen to music much differently, don't we? We have access to every song ever produced. We download it on MP3. The whole way that we listen to music is brand new. Kainos. Completely different, new in form. That's the word that's used to speak of your future, of the eternal state. Everything's becoming new. Verse 1 says that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. So, the current earth, the one we know, the one that we're living on, in the future is going away. The current heavens that we observe, that's all going away. In the eternal state, there's a new earth, a new heaven. The Lord says this in Isaiah 65, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." Think of that. We won't even remember this. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty impressed with our earth, aren't you? I see the power and glory and creativity and order and beauty of God in all of this creation. You look into our current heavens and you see his great power. Can you imagine what he's coming up with next? Well, if you're a born-again Christian, you will see the new earth, the new heavens. You know, some of my surfer friends are a little bummed out by the end of verse 21 where it says there was no more sea. I always respond, if they're surfing in heaven, there'll be bodies of water to surf on. You know, the current earth's surface is 71% water. Maybe the new earth will be more land than water. We don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but it's going to be glorious. A new heaven, a new earth. In verse 2, John says that there's going to be a new Jerusalem. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. So there's a new Kainos, Jerusalem. A new heavenly city that's being prepared by God right now and one day will come out of heaven. Now, chapter 21 and 22 here in Revelation give us all kinds of details about this new Jerusalem. And I'm just going to sum it up for you. It gets very detailed. In fact, we're given the dimensions, the measurements of this city. This city is going to be 1,500 miles long by 1,500 miles wide, by 1,500 miles high. It might be in the shape of a cube. Some think that it'll be more like a pyramid, but it's going to be a massive city that's just a little smaller than the moon. New Jerusalem would cover most all of Eastern Europe. The walls in this new city will be exactly 216 feet thick. The walls are made of like this pure golden glass. The streets of the city, transparent gold glass. Everything about this city is adorned with just the most precious gems you could possibly imagine. There's 12 gates in the city. Each gate is one massive pearl. There are 12 foundations to the city. There's no lights in the city. There's no light bulbs in New Jerusalem because it is lit up by the glory of God and the Lamb. There's no need for sun or moon. It's all lit up. We're given details of what the inside of the New Jerusalem looks like. Picture, you know, I don't know if you've ever tried to picture the Garden of Eden in your mind, but think the Garden of Eden 1,000-fold. There's no temple in New Jerusalem. God and the Lamb are the temple. Main Street Jerusalem. Imagine the most beautiful throne you've ever seen. God sits on that throne. Proceeding from the throne is a crystal blue river, the river of life. On either side of the river, you have the tree of life split into 6 different trees on each side for a total of 12 trees. Each tree bearing different fruit every month. The leaves of that tree provide healing for the nations. New Jerusalem, the new heavenly city. Now, what do people do in cities? They live there. That's where they dwell. In the eternal state, New Jerusalem will be the social center. That's where we will live. You'll have a place in New Jerusalem. And we will live there in glory with our loved ones forever. And of course, I don't think we'll ever get bored of that city. And I also believe that we won't be limited to that city in the eternal state. I think there's a new earth and a new heaven to explore. Gang, we will not be bored in heaven. Every day will be a new adventure. John says, I see a new city, a new Jerusalem. Verse 3 tells us that we will all know and experience God in a new way. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. In the eternal state, we will know God face to face. We will live with God. God will live with you. Right now, as Christians, we know God, don't we? We place our faith in Christ, and that means that we've come into a relationship with God. And as born-again Christians, that's the greatest joy in our life. We know God. We get to hear from God. From his word, we speak to him. We get to share all of our hearts and cries and concerns with him in prayer. We experience his presence by the power of the Holy Spirit. But let's face it, we still walk by faith, not by sight. One day we'll see. One day we'll be with him face to face. One day your eyes will gaze upon the living God. John says in 1 John 3, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. I can't even speculate what that's going to be like. But you know what the greatest thing about heaven is going to be? God's there. The Lamb is there. You'll be with him. You'll see him. Verse 4 tells us that in the eternal state, we will all experience a new life experience. We'll enjoy a brand new experience of existence. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Everything new. You know, in the eternal state, you'll have a new body. A glorified body. One that won't grow old or get sick or die. The language here implies that God will do this individually. He'll come to each one of us individually and wipe away each tear. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. In fact, the end of verse 4 says, the former things have passed away. The idea is, in the eternal state, you won't even remember the concept of sorrow. All the pain, everything that we've experienced, you won't remember. Everything changes. That's why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, our light affliction, which is but for a moment here, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You understand as you read this passage and others, there is the great happily ever after coming for God's people. There is a future coming that we can't even comprehend. Payson said, oh, when we meet in heaven, we shall see how little we knew about it on earth. Paul writes, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God is going to make all things new. You know, it's very possible that in this year, Jesus could come back. Would you be okay with that? This glorious future might be closer than we think. Who knows what this year brings? But I'll tell you what, if you're a born-again Christian, the future is so bright. And you can put up with anything here because you know what's coming. All things new. Now, I got to tell you, as I was studying this passage this week, I got so intrigued with that Greek word, kainos. And I wondered, can you find that word in other places in the New Testament? And I was delighted to discover that you can. And it does in many passages speak of these future glories. But I also discovered that God can make things brand new right now. God can make brand new people right now. My life verse, this is the verse that describes my life, that I've claimed for my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's all the word kainos. If you're in Christ, you're new. Old things have passed away. Everything becomes brand new in your life. And of course, this is speaking of the absolutely marvelous miracle of conversion. When a person receives Christ by faith, when a person surrenders their life and says, you know what? I'm going to come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that an absolute miracle takes place in that person's life. They become a new creation. They're given a new heart, a new nature. Jesus referred to it as becoming born again. See, we all come into this world sinful. The human race is a sinful race. And sin destroys us. Because of sin, we make all sorts of stupid decisions. We make messes of our lives. We break relationships. We put ourselves in bad shape. It leads to addictions and behavior that you regret and you're so ashamed of. As sinners, we're looking for relief, we're looking for purpose, we're looking for satisfaction and meaning. And so we try to find all that in everything that this world has to offer. And the more we try, the more we experience, the more we realize how unsatisfied we are. Sin separates us from the God who made us and loves us. The message of the gospel is that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. God made it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins. He sent his son Jesus to live the perfect life and to offer his own life at the cross for the sins of the world, so that if you come to Christ, admit your sin, ask him to be your Lord and your Savior, you become new at that moment. All of your sins are forgiven. You become a brand new creation. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. The old you, all of the past failures wiped away. You get a brand new start in life. You find the meaning, the purpose, the satisfaction you've been longing for. You begin to experience real joy, peace, and love. You begin to see your relationships change for the better. Your appetites and desires change. No longer do you want to live a worldly life. You want to live a life that pleases the Lord. You get a hunger for God's word, for prayer, for fellowship. You desire to get involved in God's mission for the church, which is to reach the entire world with the good news of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It all changes. You become a child in the family of God. He'll make you new, and he can make you new. Have you done that? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Maybe some of you are here and you're saying, man, I wish I could have a brand new start. This is a new year. I wish I really could do it this year. You can't do all that on your own. You need to become born again. You need Christ in you. You need a new heart. First step, get on your face and your knees and fall before God and ask him to save your life and to change you, to forgive you, and make you brand new. If you haven't done that, you need to do that. We all need to do that. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a couple of minutes. There's another verse that this word shows up in that I absolutely love. Let me read it to you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed." Renewed, there's your word again. Day by day. Anakainuo, to make new again, to make something entirely new of you again and again and again, day by day by day. This is a verse for Christians. My brother, my sister in Christ, do you realize that God wants to make you brand new every day? He wants to renew you day by day by day by day by day. Make you better, stronger. You know, this is a great verse. It says, our outward man is perishing. It's not easy getting old, is it? You know, I hate it. The older I get, the harder I even have sleeping. How does that happen? The body that we're current in right now, we don't have the glorified bodies. We have the bodies that are perishing. And some of us maybe are really struggling with some physical issues, and you're getting older and you're feeling all that, and it's easy to lose heart. But understand, the inner you, the real you, the one that goes on forever, can be renewed and can become stronger every single day. God wants to make us new every single day. I always loved the prayer of the poet who said, "Let me grow lovely growing old." You can only grow lovely growing old by being renewed by the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. So here we are at the beginning of a new year, and we make those resolutions. And it's important that we do that. It's important to take care of your body. Try that diet again, all right? Get in the gym and exercise. That's important. And it's important to make goals for your career and for things that you're doing. We should do that. But as Tony said at the call to worship, the most important part is the inward you. The inward you. The inward part of you that lasts forever. Work on that. You know, I want to challenge you, if you've never done this, a lot of Christians refer to this as a quiet time, where you just get some time alone with the Lord, you and the Lord. I don't like the term quiet time because it's not quiet. There should be a lot of communication taking place. But the idea is that you get into a quiet place and you get alone with God. And you start reading the Word. There are all these read through the Bible in a year. I recommend them. Get alone with the Lord every day. Open His Word. Let Him speak to you and pray. Nurture that time with Christ. You just watch what will happen in your life. You watch. We get better and stronger as we fellowship with one another here at church. I would highly encourage all of you, if this is your church, that this would be the church that you come to regularly and that you would get involved in the lives of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe this is the year where God is saying to you, time to get involved right now, this year. Get involved. Maybe if you are, some of you are heavily involved in ministry right now at this church, and I think that's awesome. And here's my prayer for you, that your ministry becomes brand new, that you get a whole new vision for what God wants to do through you and in you, and that you're seeking Him on that. I pray that your witness for Christ will be so fruitful this year that you will share your faith at work, at school, among your friends. Recommit. Rededicate. Make good use of that time. Start now. It's been said every 365 days we have a new year. Every 24 hours we have a new day. Every 60 minutes we have a new hour. God created the potential for new beginnings into the very design of the universe. No matter how bad things seem, there's always hope. There is always, always room for a new beginning. So let's go into it. God makes people brand new. God can make us brand new every day. And God has brand new things awaiting us in a glorious future. All of that made possible through the sacrifice of Christ, who left heaven and came to earth and offered himself up so that we could be saved and forgiven and given a real hope and a new beginning. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? The folks that are going to help me distribute, would you come on up here at the front, and our worship team is going to come up? If we could turn down the lights a little. There you go. The communion service is a time when we remember the sacrifice that was made for us. Christ really did die for us on the cross. His blood was shed. His body was really broken. He really took our sins upon himself and died in our place. His love for us is indescribable. The future he wants for you is, oh, so amazing, both now and forevermore. As Christians here with our heads bowed, eyes closed, let's take this time as we're passing out these elements. You hold them. We'll all hold them in our hands and we'll take them together. But just thank God for what he's done. Maybe rededicate your life to him. If you're here this morning and you've yet to receive Christ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. You can go into the new year as a new you right now. If you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to do it right now. And then you partake of communion with us. If that's you, in the quietness of your heart, just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender. I come to you. I fall on my knees before you. Please, please wash away all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Give me a new heart, a new start. Make me a new creation. Fill me with your spirit and help me to follow you this year and every year of life you give me here. Praise you, Lord. So we're going to distribute. Please keep the elements and wall, take them together. There are two cups you're going to be taking out of the tray. The bottom cup will hold the wafer, and the top cup will hold the juice. So make sure you get both. What a holy moment this is. We're going into this brand new year, and we do it real formal. We've all paused. We've all stopped. We're all thinking about the new year. As you go into this new year, don't you forget what Christ did for you. That blood that was shed, that body that was broken. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for the hope that we have in you. Lord, as we partake of these elements, we rededicate our hearts. We love you and we praise you. For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's all take from that bottom cup. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's remember. Amen. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Father, I want to pray that you would bless each family here in this new year. Lord, I pray that you would bless each marriage. I pray that you would bless each dating relationship, that it would be one that glorifies you. Pray for every parent-child relationship. Lord, I pray that there will be healing if that is needed. Lord, I pray that your hand would continue to be upon this local body, this church. Lord, that you would strengthen us. Help us to be a body that encourages one another and shines like a great light in this El Paso area. And Lord, I pray for your church worldwide and other local churches right here in this city. I pray your blessing upon everyone. I pray that your people worldwide would shine for you in great ways this year. Starting with each one of us. I pray, Lord, that our growth this year would be strong and consistent. I do pray, Lord, that we would have a great appetite for your word. Those alone times with you would be consistent, fruitful. Bless my brothers and sisters here. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's stand. If you wouldn't mind passing those cups to the aisle, these guys will pick them up. And let's stand for one last worship song together.